You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members. Welcome to 3CR Fire Up MUA. My name's David Boyle. I'm from the Victorian branch of the MUA. And I'm here with Robert and Aaron and, of course, Annie. How are you, people?
Good, thanks, Dave. How are you? We can tell the intro's not scripted. You change it up every time.
No script there.
Morning, Dave. How are you, mate?
Yes, good, mate. Going well.
Had a good couple of weeks, have we?
Well, we're all fired up after the big weekend. We've all just come through.
It was a great Tigers win.
And the Bulldogs, of course.
And the Bulldogs.
Yeah, on a good path. And, of course, there was one other victory.
There was a victory on the weekend. Thank goodness for that. The Labor Party, although still not, I don't think it's been decided yet that they'll form a government in their own right, but they're certainly heading towards that way. But more importantly, the Liberal Party are kicked out.
And, yes, decimated.
Yes, quite decimated.
Yeah, it's shocking to see some of those people lose their seats. Poor old Josh.
Yeah.
Just terrible to see, wasn't it? I mean, fair dink.
Where will he turn up again?
Oh, working for a bank or a lobbyist or something like that, making millions of dollars a year.
He'll come back.
What about Tim Wilson?
Tim Wilson, another one.
Yeah. Oh. Fantastic.
Yeah, just a great head for radio, Tim, I thought.
Well, at one stage, we thought we were going to get rid of Dutton.
Yeah.
And that would have been great. Yeah. That would have been ideal.
I don't know.
The warmongering
animal. I think, more importantly, I mean, people, it's a very different election when you look at the way the primary votes moved. And now the independents have certainly made inroads into Australian politics now, and the Greens have, you know, and even the protest vote with the UAP, I can't understand anyone who would vote for
that. But they didn't get much, did they? They got a few percent.
Well, there's another one that got kicked out. Didn't Craig Kelly get the...
Craig Kelly lost his seat.
Fair dink.
Where's Hanson sitting with her?
She's in trouble.
She's in trouble, yeah, with her Senate seat.
So a very different move in Australian politics, very different to any other election I've certainly ever witnessed.
A great shift to a progressive vote, that's for sure.
Yeah, so that's going to be very interesting.
Don't you think that a lot of the... independents, not all, but some of those independents actually reflect the move to the right in the Liberal Party, and it's a protest vote against the Liberal Party by its core voters.
They are Liberal Party members who were unhappy with their own party and went and stood as independents because of the shift too far to the right of the Liberal Party. So there's no doubt that even though they're called independents, that they're actually...
Yeah, they're like...
pseudo-Liberal Party.
The most of them will be economically conservative, but socially progressive. That'll be their whole...
Well,
mantra, won't it? Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know, but it would seem reasonable, right?
Yeah, that's right. And what about the conservative commentators coming out and going, well, it's time to double down now and go further to the right.
Yeah, what was that all about? Why? I mean, that's a real sort of anti-democratic US approach. Like, people don't think that the conservatives are, well, I'm not even sure they're conservatives. I think they're, because conservative means to retain.
See, that describes them aptly.
Yeah, yeah. But the point is that this is an international approach by oligarchs, really, US oligarchs.
The next few years are going to be interesting for the Labor Party. All the things that we've, you know, been complaining about is now firmly in. It's not the complaint anymore. They get dumped with trillions of dollars of debt. You know, they the Liberals hang their hat on the defence or the defence of Australia, and the reality is that we have no defence. We have all these things that are now lumbered into the hands of Anthony Albanese and the Labor Party, try and fix rising inflation's coming no matter who got in.
So the campaign really starts now,
Yeah, it does. It's, I wouldn't say he's been handed a great plate to start his meal on, but anyhow, better to be in than out, that's for sure.
Yeah,
but isn't that what the Liberals always do? They mess everything up and then they get the mechanic in to fix it?
Yeah, that's right.
I like that, Annie. Well done. I reckon you've used that one before.
So, but the win does mean some pretty important things for us.
Yeah,
so,
more importantly.
So we've got our National Indigenous Office, Thomas Mayer, campaigning heavily for the Uluru Statement, and Albo's acceptance speech came out and said that he was going to implement that, which is
really exciting.
That was really powerful for him to mention that in his acceptance speech. Yeah. I thought that was a real affirmation of... the Labor Party's commitment to the Uluru Statement and now Indigenous people.
And he stuck in the word trade unions. It was very quick pleading, but he did say trade unions.
And he is going to do some... Well, he's committed to removing the ABCC and the ROC, which are like our own private police forces, hey? So
we can just get him to fix up the Fair Work Act, removing, you know, these companies' ability to... terminate agreements in the middle of negotiations, which is what's currently happening with Switzer.
Well, I think they gave that commitment, didn't they, as well? That because the idea of being able to terminate an agreement is to terminate one that's no longer, not to terminate an agreement that's halfway through its negotiation period.
Yeah.
So they've got to remove that ability for companies to take that. So there was some great movement, the Save Australian Shipping campaign that, you know, we've been involved with.
And his commitment to a strategic fleet. He's been a long-time supporter from when he had the portfolio of transport. So he's been a long-time supporter of the strategic fleet. He was a proponent of it last time
for the MUA.
Support of the MUA. So it will be interesting times ahead to see what we can get out of this new ALP government.
And they do, and yeah, obviously...
I'm cautiously optimistic.
We know that there's...
they're meant to.
There's many factions within the Labor Party, and Anthony comes from the left of one of those factions, so that's a good thing.
Left by name.
I went to an event before the election with that Adam Bandt was at in my local electorate because I'm in McNamara, which was a hot topic, right, between Labor and Greens. And I asked him specifically, I actually got out to ask a question, asked him specifically what the Greens' view was of the stacking of the Fair Work Commission with complete toadies to an anti-worker, anti-union representatives, and how were they going to rebalance, what was their thoughts about how to rebalance the fairness in that particular commission, and he reckoned that it was through legislation.
I think there's two schools of thoughts within the ALP from what I gathered from their IR spokesperson prior to the election, which was it could be completely dismantled and rebuilt, which would take far too long and be far too risky for workers in the interim, or it could be expanded and then new appointees put in to try and balance it out a bit. But, I mean, it doesn't take out the problem of the current commissioners that are already damaging anyways.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they tackle that one, because it has been just bastardised by the Liberals. I mean, not that it was the greatest thing in the last 5 years anyways, but...
The concept was great.
The idea is all right.
The idea and the concept is fantastic, but it's the implementation and how that's been... You use the word bastardised, it's probably the right word for it, by the Liberals in their 9 or 10 years at the helm. It's just...
Yeah.
Fair Work Commission. It couldn't be a worse known commission in Australia. Fair Work, gee whiz.
And the campaign run by the union movement, I think, through this latest election, the ACTU and Victorian Trades Hall...
Doesn't hold a hose.
Yeah, I don't hold a hose, mate, and not my job. And I was handing out ukuleles in the seat of Corangamite, and the public loved it, you know.
I saw a photo of you with a ukulele with a very strange-looking coloured T-shirt. What on earth is this bloke on then?
It was the We Are Union T-shirt, right? The orange We Are Union T-shirt. And, you know, the punters loved the ukuleles, and I reckon even the Liberal voters couldn't help but laugh when you handed them one and said, send Scott on a holiday, send Scott back to Hawaii. And it was a great campaign and very smart. And, yeah.
Do you know the one downside is? It was a bit of a laugh, wasn't it? Like, he just made us, he was a fool consistently, and it was so easy to put shit on him, and it was hilarious because he fucked up every single time. So, I mean, not that you want to see Australia as a joke on the international stage, but...
I'd have loved
it. Was to, good for our social medias.
I'd have loved to have seen the satirist John Clark still alive to have, he just would have had an absolute ball with Morrison. You know, those, that skits he did with John Dawes, I think, were just some of the funniest skits, satirist stuff on Australian television ever. He would have loved ScoMo.
Mind you, ScoMo got voted back in with something like 63% of the vote in his electorate of Cook.
Yeah,
and so weird. Did that Angus Taylor, and so did whatever the name of the Nat guy is. I love it, the Nat.
Barnaby.
Yeah, Barnaby.
Well, there's going to be a spill of that leadership, and he's not very popular amongst his own members, I don't reckon.
Barnaby Joyce.
No.
He's a survivor. He'll keep it.
Yeah.
They're weird.
Out in New England. Come on. There they are.
Yeah, we all did our bit. We all did our bit and handed out in our areas, and did our bit to help with the campaigning and that, which was great to see Victorian branch and stuff on the Facebook page of people, our own members, helping out as well.
And we look forward to holding the Labor Party accountable.
Yeah,
we are.
And also, probably while I think of it, we had a great win in with the domestic violence leave being... now 10 days paid leave.
Yep. It's not the NES yet. It came to all the awards.
Yeah.
So all the awards now have 10 days
paid
family violence leave, which is great. And now,
win for workers,
now it's incumbents. And another thing the ALP's got to do is they've got to add it to the NES so that it covers the millions of workers who are not covered by awards.
Awards, yeah. So that was a great win as well. So it's been a big couple of weeks, hasn't it?
It has, it has. But it's also been a big couple of weeks industrially. I know that we met with Switzer earlier. We mentioned him just before, Dave. We met with Switzer earlier this week.
That's
to
right.
Continue that saga.
Yeah. So there is an in principle agreement with Switzer between the three unions and Switzer, and there was a drafting meeting during the week that I believe may have gone a bit rough around the edges, but. While we're drafting, can you believe this? While we're drafting the agreement, they are continuing their application for termination of the agreement, which I just don't know how that can go.
It's an egregious abuse of the Act, right, yeah. and the commission system itself.
How could those two things go alongside, drafting an agreement while they're actually applying to terminate the agreement?
Wouldn't they have pushed that back?
They've pushed it back, but the application dates are in. It's all in. So I guess... That suggests that Switzer maybe are expecting a no vote on the in-principle agreement. I can only imagine that's what they're expecting. But
no, it sounds like an each-way bet, you know. It's an each-way bet.
Yeah.
And also, isn't there such a thing as good faith? Isn't good faith an actual legal term?
Good faith bargaining.
It's
an interesting term, good faith bargaining, because
it only applies to us.
Yeah, that's right.
It does.
Yeah.
The Switzer members will be the ones who decide whether the in-principle agreement is satisfactory or not.
Yeah, that's right. It will be up to the membership.
Interesting that they're still rudely hostile in the drafting meetings, particularly the company, because I thought the change of government, they might have seen a bit of the writing on the wall, but they're still pushing ahead in that hostile...
Yeah,
man, and which is at odds to Maersk internationally, the way they try and approach, the way they pretend to try to approach trade unions. And I thought with a Labor government, that would have changed their approach as well. But it seems like Maersk has just lost control of Switzer Australia, and
there's rumours bubbling around about Geelong, is there or not? Or
Yeah, there is some rooms. They're very early now, but we're hoping Switzer will re-enter Geelong at some stage, and there has been a couple of rumours around that, and we're hopefully that will happen. We'll not counting our sheep yet.
Yeah, not counting the chicken before that.
Are you sleeping?
What are you trying to go to sleep? It's quite early in the morning, David.
Anyone going with 2-2 line, mate? Where's that at?
Well, Aaron's actually taking on a new exciting role with TT Line. Aaron, maybe you want to take us through that.
Oh, well, there you go. Thanks, Dad. No, it's been great. We, for the first time in a while, I think the MUA had a representative, that being myself, that sailed over and back with the crew on the crew change dates about a week and a half ago now. We're going to miss today's crew change dates because they swapped over in Tassie and back, so I just wasn't able to get over there in time, but we're going to get back over on spot two. We've done spot one, like I said, a week and a half ago. We'll be over on spot two.
They put you up in the honeymoon suite or anything like that, did they?
No. I've got a little cabin. I've got a little cabin right on the forecastle next to the chain locker. but that was good. It was great to go over and back. And it was a good opportunity to catch up with, because we often have held shipboard meetings down there, and I think both of you have been down to a few of them over the last 12 months. While we've been allowed on there, but there are some people we missed because they're obviously still working when we do that. So great opportunity to sit in the mess room and the crew bar with them and just have a chat for a few hours about a whole suite of things, and particularly because their enterprise agreement is 12 months overdue. It's good to start and move that forward again and progress that.
The company have proposed a rollover.
They have proposed a rollover, but
for a couple of reasons.
Yeah, for a couple of reasons. One being the move into Geelong,
new ships coming up.
Potential new ships, but they'll be delayed a while now because the steel was coming from the
Ukraine.
And they don't currently have the steel plant that well under control anymore, if at all. They're trying to source new steel, or they'll be awaiting some sort of supply of steel to be able to build these new vessels.
Where were the ships being made?
Finland.
Right, that makes more sense. Quite bizarre. That really tells you something about how international trade may not be the answer to everybody's dreams.
Yeah. No, imagine if we started to build stuff here again.
Whoa. Oh, I think there's
got a radical idea.
I mean, the Labor Party have mentioned that through the campaign. I know when Bill Shorten addressed the monthly stoppy here in April, he talked about that, about getting made back in the,
And there's a wonderful opportunity with offshore wind, and there's around 20 projects scheduled for the coast of Australia with offshore wind. The biggest one and the most progressed one, the Star of the South, down here in Gippsland in Victoria. And, it's a magnificent opportunity to manufacture those wind turbines in Australia. It's not like it's going to be a small project. There's 15 to 20 projects planned. And
the first one has between 200 and 250 huge windmills proposed for the South.
That's right. Put the infrastructure in place now to start the manufacturing in Australia, and it'll go on for decades to come. And, this industry is really well developed overseas. It's not like this is not going to happen. This is going to happen, and it's going to happen sooner than later now that we've got a Labor government in power.
And the best part is each of these projects has like a 25 to 35-year lifestyle. So by the time we build the 15th one, that'll be 30 years down the track and we'll have to replace the first one.
Do you get a bit confused when you go into Newcastle and you're going to talk about it with all your coal mates?
We've held many meetings down at the port of Newcastle with particularly the guys who load the coal onto the vessels. And there was an understanding that we're in a sunset industry. And to be completely honest,
I like it.
They don't give a shit what they're loading onto the vessels.
As long as they're loading something.
So if they're loading windmills,
You saw the election results. It's quite clear that people have taken that on board. Workers are taking this on board.
They definitely have. And I think
for the Greens, the tip of Lib out in Queensland is a fair indication.
Is it ever?
A fair indication as to where the public sentiment is moving around.
And I think a lot of that's public education, people getting their head around But you talk about climate change, and dare I say, the younger generations get it, and some of the older generation, I'll put my hand up and being in that, it takes a little bit of education to get your head around what it actually is. And I know that sounds a little bit, there's probably people out there listening going, no, I get it. You're just a bit slow, but which is actually probably the case. Probably a bit more to it. But I think that it is an education thing, and it does take a while for people to get their head around what does that actually mean. And then you start reading more and more about it and the science around it, and it's real. It's definitely real.
And it just goes to show you how much, fake media and Murdoch media was involved with those anti-vaxxers and those protests, because Australia United Party tried to get on the back of their campaign, freedom, 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 and they got F all of the vote on the weekend. Just proved that that was a big Murdoch bullshit.
Yeah.
I reckon you shouldn't underestimate
bullshit,
the work.
Bullshit.
I don't think you should underestimate the hard work you guys did. That thing about vote, put the Liberals last, and talking to people about, what is freedom, and why do you think this billionaire who didn't give money to his workers is going to basically be honest about what he says?
Yeah.
And we did get around our workplaces and get the message out to our members, because we thought it was a really important election for our membership.
Yep. It's really important election for the union movement broadly.
Broadly, yeah. We had to get rid of this government. I made the comment, one of the things I said, a mate of mine said, tell me why I should vote Liberal. I said, Labor. And I said, not why you should vote Labor. You have this bloke and this party has got to go.
Yep.
Because they're just, they're a disgrace.
Dishonest.
And sometimes it doesn't matter, how you win, as long as you win.
Which is a great segue, Dave, into the song this week.
Winning Ugly by the Rolling Stones.
Great Rolling Stones.
Thanks for your time, members. We'll speak to you in a fortnight. Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Annie. Good on you.
Thanks, members. Bye.
Great show, guys.
I'm not sure about that.
Shots.
Listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.